This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Tuesday's headlines, and we begin up on Capitol Hill, where once again, as it has been for the past several days, the focus is on the financial sector, what went wrong in the crisis of 2008 to the present, as well as what the road ahead ought to be. First, the past. A special Senate investigative committee chaired by Michigan's Carl Levin grilling Goldman Sachs executives from the last decade about their alleged efforts to get investors on board with different programs that they knew were designed to fail. Michigan Senator Carl Levin began quoting from an internal Goldman Sachs email that contained profanity and for some reason couldn't stop using the word.
June 22 is the date of this email. Boy, that Timberwolf was one deal. How much of that deal did you sell to your clients after June 22, 2007?
Daniel Sparks is the former head of the mortgage division at Goldman Sachs. Senator Levin and he again got into what exactly the company was up to, as well as Mr. Sparks in particular. And once again, Mr. Levin found many different opportunities to use his new favorite word.
Okay, you're trying to sell a deal, and it's your top priority. Come on, Mr. Sparks.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
should Goldman Sachs be trying to sell, and by the way, it sold it, a lot of it, after that date. Should Goldman Sachs be trying to sell the deal?
Well,
can you answer
again,
that one?
Words,
can you answer that one, yes or no?
There are prices in the market that people want to invest in things. I didn't use that term with respect to this deal.
Well, you can ascertain from that brief clip that most of the senators were out to get on TV, and most of those testifying were there to make sure that they didn't say a whole lot. That led Delaware Democratic Senator Ted Kaufman to express his frustration.
I got two things I'm getting out of these hearings. Number one, nobody did anything wrong. This was a natural disaster like a hurricane hit. The mortgage market fell, and nobody knew it, and nobody forecast it. And the second thing is that these things were just something that happened.
Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill says she thinks this whole saga smacks of worse regulation than a Vegas casino.
It's gambling. Pure and simple, raw gambling. You are the bookie. You are the house. You have less oversight and less regulation as you all began this wild, wild west. You had less oversight than a pit boss in Las Vegas.
In addition to trying to get to the bottom of what happened at Goldman Sachs and eventually other Wall Street firms during the financial crisis of the last part of the last decade, many Democrats, of course, are using these hearings to try and generate some support to move forward with their version of financial reform. The Democratic version failed to break the filibuster issued by Senate Republicans on Monday, and it's failing again here on Tuesday. That means that it's going to take yet another vote at least, and perhaps the Democrats will have to keep trying this for a long time before they can actually open formal debate on the legislation sponsored by Senate Banking Committee Chairman Christopher Dodd. At issue, of course, is a $50 billion fund contained within this bill. At least it's the main issue. Republicans say this is the establishment of a permanent bailout fund at the cost of the U.S. taxpayer. Democrats say it's nothing of the sort. It's actually going to end the culture of too big to fail, and they say by Republicans lining up en masse against this legislation and even refusing to begin debate on it shows they are in the pocket of Wall Street bankers. As for the red ink that this country is facing, President Obama's newly created debt commission rolling up its sleeves and getting to work. And one of the big questions is whether or not it will consider tax increases. Because if it did, that would fly in the face of President Obama's promise to cut taxes and not raise any taxes whatsoever against those making less than $250,000 a year. But today, President Obama, without saying much, said that he's not ruling anything out.
That's an old Washington game. We're not playing that game. I'm not going to say what's in. I'm not going to say what's out. I want this commission to be free to do its work.
And for the second time in just a few weeks, President Obama then flew to the state of Iowa to once again push his domestic agenda. This time, the president touting what he sees as his accomplishments thus far on the economic front and what the keys are to future economic growth. The president says that the fundamentals are in place over the past year plus in order to sustain a long economic recovery.
So even as we took steps to rescue our economy and recover from this crisis, we also wanted to take steps to rebuild our economy on a new foundation. A firmer foundation for long-term growth and prosperity, to create conditions so that folks who work hard can finally get ahead.
And the linchpin to that is clean energy.
But the reason we're here is because it also means igniting a new clean energy economy that generates good jobs right here in the United States. Now, we've talked about this for decades. We talked about how our dependence on fossil fuels threatened our economy. But after all the talk, a lot of times our will to act rose and fell depending on what the price of a gallon of gas was at the pump.
It's been a few days now since Arizona Governor Jan Brewer signed into law what many consider to be the toughest anti-illegal immigration laws in the country. They don't officially take effect until a couple of months from now this summer, but the debate still going on fast and furious. Arizona Senator John McCain, long a proponent of what some considered a very weak form of immigration reform, says he's strongly in support of this law for one fundamental reason. The federal government hasn't done its job.
The people in southern Arizona have had their rights violated by the unending and constant flow of drug smugglers and human traffickers across their property. If you don't like the bill, the legislation that the legislature passed and the governor signed in Arizona, then carry out the federal responsibilities, which are to secure the border. You probably wouldn't have had this problem.
But Democrats see it very differently. Janet Napolitano is Secretary of Homeland Security and is the former governor of Arizona. She says the facts don't work in favor of this legislation.
It is way down from where it has been ever in my recollection. And not only that, there are more law enforcement resources that have been deployed to Arizona and the southwest border than ever. And every marker that the Congress has set for enforcement at the southwest border has been met and exceeded.
For more on the immigration debate today, head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. There you'll catch my interview with Ali Norani, head of the National Immigration Forum, who thinks this new law in Arizona is a terrible idea. He says all it will do is prevent immigrants to Arizona from being in contact with the police to report any crimes. He also explains what he'd like to see in a federal immigration reform bill. Also at worldnetdaily.com and dateline.radioamerica.org, please find my interviews with California Congressman Tom McClintock. We'll be talking about the financial reform debate, as well as the controversy over whether President Obama may pursue a new value-added tax that would affect everyone in this country, as well. And we'll get his thoughts on the latest assessment of the Democratic version of health care reform, of course, that passed last month, and what the real cost will be to taxpayers and what it actually will mean for your health care. Also, catch my interview with Matt Strawn, who is the chairman of the Iowa Republican Party. We'll be talking about the president's visit to Iowa today to push his domestic agenda. Two other notes of interest before we leave you. First of all, the final man who was still alive in connection with the murder of Malcolm X back in the mid-1960s has been paroled. Thomas Hagen was one of three shooters convicted in that crime, and he is now on his 16th attempt, succeeded in gaining parole. And some evangelistic archaeologists in Turkey believe they have found the remnants of Noah's Ark, some 13,000 feet up Mount Ararat, where the book of Genesis in the Old Testament says that Noah's Ark came to rest after floodwaters ravaged the earth for 40 days and 40 nights and then eventually receded many days after that. The lead archaeologist says he can't be 100% sure, but is about 99.9% sure. That's a look at the news. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.